And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. At 8 years old, Cone Ashmore was hit by a car and spent 5 months in a coma. Because of that accident, he moves and speaks very slowly, but thinks and hears at the same speed as everyone else. And for the freelance radio producer, Andy Mills, their friendship developed faster than ever. Today, we welcome Khan and Andy and the story of how their friendship developed, and we'll talk about that. We'll hear Andy's award-winning radio story about Khan, and you might have already heard it and learned about it from the show Radiolab. Plus, we hear from Khan himself, who first came to visit us here in the studio yesterday to observe our show, because you see, Khan wants to work behind the scenes in radio, but today, his story is front and center, live. Khan Ashmore, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you.
Andy Mills, how did you meet Khan? Tell us about the story.
Oh, hey. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. How did you meet Khan?
Great. I met Khan in college. It was his freshman year, first day of school, and I think it was my either sophomore or junior year. Khan, can you remember?
Yeah. It was your junior year.
He remembers that it was your junior year, Andy. How about that?
Yeah.
And how
Khan's
did you...
memory is tight.
How did you learn about his childhood car accident? Seems like a difficult thing to just come out and ask. You learned that was the source of the slow speech.
It wasn't right away. I definitely learned other things first, like what kind of music he liked and that he had crazy, unruly hair and that he liked to laugh really loud. But eventually I was just trying to put together exactly why his body would be so slow and yet his mind be so sharp. And I couldn't really solve the mystery, so I just figured I would ask him. And I've always been under the impression that rather than be offended, that Khan kind of liked that somebody just kind of came out and asked.
And Khan, you can feel free to give us that signature laugh that only Khan can bring throughout this broadcast. In the process of getting to know Khan, Andy, you discovered you had some things in common with him. What were they?
Yeah, I mean, we both grew up in the Midwest in religious households, and both of us had kind of had to struggle with certain elements of the kind of ideal family that we heard about in church, and maybe we thought up in our minds, and then the realistic families that we had that came with a lot more problems. And one of that was that we both were pretty familiar with fighting parents and the way that shapes you growing up, forcing you to be a little bit more independent, kind of bursting some bubbles that other kids get to live with throughout their grade school and high school years. Those were kind of the earlier bonds for sure, right out of the bat.
Now, here's a question for you, Khan, the man of the hour. What does your friendship with Andy mean to you?
It means a lot, actually. Like, since we were both 19, there's always been this really deep connection, and even though we're miles apart from each other now, and we're even at the end of my and his stay in Illinois, we've always remained the best of friends, and it's the most significant friendship I've had and expect to have.
The most significant friendship you've had and expect to have. Very poignant words, Khan. Andy, do you feel the same way? You're in Denver now and he's in San Diego. He mentioned the distance there. Do you feel like this is a very significant friendship?
Oh, for sure. Oh, Khan, that was so nice of you to say. Yeah, I get a little teary-eyed over here.
It's very touching. It's very touching.
I don't have any other friends like Khan, that's for sure. That he has an ability to to do something that I also like to do, which is whenever, you know, whenever you become friends with somebody, you kind of are inviting them to stand close to you and look at you, and you can choose whether you're going to let them see all of you or whether you're going to hold out a little bit, and maybe you'll show this part but not that part. And Khan's the kind of guy who will, he will stand there and let you see everything for what it is. He'll let you, he'll invite you to criticize and to encourage him, and he'll do the same for you. And we also experience the that shift that happens from being a teenager to a young adult to a not so young adult, and that shift of, like, we saw the world as black and white at one point with a somewhat fundamentalist religious mindset, and then kind of come to see the world maybe with the lens of mystery and intrigue and all that together. So those moments that you have with anyone would be powerful, but having those with Khan, somebody who can be just so open with everything, has definitely made a huge difference.
Andy, we're about to get into the Radiolab clip of you and Khan's story in a minute to go deeper into how that friendship developed. But tell us why you thought this would make a good documentation. Tell us why you decided to make this a story.
Well, honestly, I don't know if I've ever told that many people this before, but the whole reason that this radio story came to be is just because I thought it would be interesting to record Khan's voice and then speed it up and then just see if it sounded, you know, maybe more like how I think his voice might have sounded if he never had an accident. Like, that's how it all got started. I was just asking him questions about his life because we were having a few beers and I didn't know what else to say. Tell me about your life so I could get your voice and I'll speed it up. But then whenever I heard his story, especially the aspects of, you know, his accident and then his enlightenment, the way that he hears himself, I was just like, oh, no, this is way better. This is way better than I thought it was going to be.
We got that famous Khan laughed here in the studio. He can barely contain his enthusiasm as he looks back and remembers how you tried to speed up his voice. Khan, if you can come down from your height of comical nirvana from us right now, how did it feel to have your story by Andy told on the radio?
It was great. I honestly, when I received it that day in San Diego, I listen to it 5 consecutive times and cried every time. But the one thing I was kind of cynical and conscious about was I was just kind of like, I don't want to sound cute.
Right, right.
But I got past that pretty quick.
You got past that. You got past that. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Khan Ashmore and Andy Mills. We're hearing the incredible story of how the two forged a friendship that led to an award-winning radio story. And so now, without further ado, we're going to hear your story, Khan, the winner of the Best New Artist Award at the Third Coast International Audio Festival, as adapted for WNYC's Radio Lab. The story of Khan and Andy, right now.
Khan, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you start.
My name is Khan Chaos.
This is my friend Khan. How old are you?
I'm 26.
And he talks slowly.
Years old.
In fact, everything that Khan does, he does slowly. His mind is totally fine. It's just as fast and sharp as yours or mine, but his body and his speech, they're another story. And that's because back when Khan was just 8 years old, he was hit by a car.
The accident.
The accident severed his spinal column.
My spinal column.
And that's why he talks the way he does.
That's why I talk like I do.
Khan spent 5 months in a coma, and when he woke up, his body was forever slowed. Now he eats slowly, walks slowly, talks slowly. But the thing about Khan's voice in particular that I think is just so strange is that he doesn't hear himself the way that we hear him. In fact, in Khan's head, every time that he's speaking, to him, he sounds just like everyone else. So, when I say something like, I'm 26 years old, it only takes me about 2 seconds. But when Khan says the exact same thing,
years old,
it takes him about 7 seconds. Yet, somehow, according to Khan, these two sound just alike in his head. Because of this, for years after Khan's accident, he had no idea what his own voice sounded like. How do you go for years without knowing what your voice sounds like? Well, Khan says that things kept on just like this until he was in junior high. He was 12 years old, and he had his first big crush on this girl in his class named Julie. And he wanted to do something big, something romantic to win her affection. So, what did he do? He made her a mixtape.
A mixtape.
A love song mixtape.
Yeah.
And as if that wasn't romantic enough, he decided that the last song on the tape would be a recording of Khan singing a song with his own voice for his crush Julie. So, Khan got a tape recorder, recorded the song, and when he played the tape back for himself, he was horrified.
Horrified.
He kept thinking, is that me? Is that really what I sound like? And it was right there, in that moment, when Khan heard his voice on a recording for the very first time, that he realized something was wrong.
I just always thought of myself as a good singer till then, 'cause I heard myself as a good singer.
The whole thing's kind of like if you had purple skin, but the only way that you could see your skin as purple, like everyone else saw it, was to look at a photograph. Is that a good metaphor?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So, there's 12-year-old Khan, sitting next to a tape player, realizing that this, the voice he's hearing right now for the very first time, this is how everyone else hears him all the time. And he said to himself,
I'm never gonna talk again.
He began to cry. But then he felt angry. How had no one told him about this? But then he thought, well, who could have told me? Growing up, Khan was the hearing child of two deaf parents. His mom and his dad, they had never heard his voice in the first place. So how could they tell him? And Khan thinks that everyone else just assumed that he knew what his own voice sounded like, which is probably true. I've known Khan for over a decade, and up until a few weeks ago, I had no idea that he couldn't hear what we hear when he's speaking. Neither did any of his friends.
Hello.
Like Haley.
Hey, Haley.
Hey.
And his friend Dave.
Hello.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Oh, not much. What's up, Andy?
When I told them what I'd learned about Khan's voice, they almost couldn't believe it.
You're kidding.
Did you know that?
No, I had no idea. That's so crazy.
I was really surprised by that.
I can't imagine hearing it for the first time, though, like he did.
It has to have been crushing.
Aw, that's so sad.
I mean, to realize that you sound completely different from everybody else, and speaking is such a big part of social interaction, you know?
A few weeks back, Khan and I went on a walk. Watching Khan walk, it reveals just how hard it must be to live life in slow motion. His legs move so slowly that they have to fight gravity with every step. He limps and he falls a lot. If you were to drive by and see him walking down the sidewalk, you might think he was a drunk returning from some all-night binge. After his accident, Khan spent several years in a wheelchair, but then he decided a while back that he wanted to walk. And he's worked really hard to get out of that chair. And so these days, Khan walks.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Now, Khan knows that he can get places faster and easier if he just takes his electronic wheelchair. But to Khan, you see, that just doesn't matter. He likes to walk. And this is the same attitude that he has about pretty much everything in his life. He qualifies for assisted living, and he could have somebody come to his place and cook and clean for him, which, of course, would be easier. But he likes to cook and clean. And this is especially true when it comes to Khan's voice. He agrees that his life is hard, but the way he sees it, whose is it? He says, sure, he's disabled. His body and his voice, they just don't work the way they used to. They don't work the way most people's do. And he doesn't know if they ever will. What he does know is that he likes singing. He's even grown to like the unique way his voice sounds in recordings. And he thinks, maybe someday, he'll find a girl who does too.
This is Grey Room by Damien Rice.
And in the meantime, he'll just keep singing.
Well, I've been here before.
Because you see, according to Khan, that's just what you do.
Sand on the floor.
Especially when you're lonely, especially when life feels too hard, you sing.
Gray, gray room. Gray, gray room. I'm never gonna talk again.
From a piece called Khan, the winner of the Best New Artist Award at the Third Coast International Audio Festival, as adapted for WNYC's Radio Lab. If you'd like to hear an extended story of Khan and Andy, you can go to our website at kcur.org. We have a link to the much longer Radio Lab story there, where Jad and Robert even speak with a neurologist about Khan's situation. Our guests are the one and only Khan Ashmore, who's in the studio with us, and Andy Mills, who joins us by phone from Denver. Gabby in KC writes in to say, thank you for having Khan on the show. He has made my entire morning, not because I think it's cute, but because I think he rocks and could teach us all so much. Khan, you are a very hysterical and very bright guy. Thank you for teaching us all so much with your incredible laugh. It is an incredible laugh indeed. At the beginning and the outset of this audio documentary, Khan says he didn't want to sound cute, but in the end, he got past that. Andy Mills, what kind of feedback did you get on this story? On the Radio Lab website, there are a few I can't stop crying posts. Do you think Khan's story is a sad one? Even Khan said that he cried when he listened to it. Is this a sad story?
It's not a tragedy by any means. It's tragic that you know, Khan has so much to deal with, because just living life, as we know, comes with so many hardships, and to have one added on like this it feels unfair for sure, and there's a sense of injustice maybe involved in the emotional aspect of it all. But ultimately, I mean, I get emotional too, even just hearing it out. I mean, I've heard it more than anyone. I edited this thing in my closet in my apartment for so long. I've heard it over and over again, and I know Khan personally, and yet I still get caught up in the emotion of it, because I think it's a good story. Khan's story is a good story, and by that I mean it's a story that we, when hearing it, get to step into the shoes of somebody else, and we get to experience just a glimpse of what life might be like in their particular hardships. And at the same time, it's also a story that seems to say say more without saying it, right? There's something of the human story being told in a small slice through looking at this aspect of Khan's life. So I've gotten great feedback. Obviously, the winning a Third Coast Award means a lot to me. I really admire all the work that they do there. And I, a few years ago, watched Joe Richmond from Radio Diaries win a Third Coast Award, and I sat in the crowd and thought, I want one of those. I'm going to win one of those one day. And so the fact that I did feels like really gratifying and good. And then when Jad and Robert over at Radiolab picked it up, and then we worked together as well with Soren Wheeler and Pat Walters, two producers that worked for them, I felt really proud of what we did together, taking the story into their realm. And because of the just enormous popularity of that show, I've received emails from India, from people in South Korea. I've received just tons of emails of encouragement from people to keep finding stories and telling them, and just people all over the world who are somehow touched, somehow could relate to this story. So it's been great.
Andy, what have you learned about yourself from doing this piece and from cultivating your friendship with Khan?
Well, that's a big question, but I'd say I grew up, as we said before, in a religious world, and in the small sect of that religious world that I existed in, I was a child preacher. As in, I told stories from behind a pulpit starting at age like 10 or 11 and up until I was in my teen years. And my religious views definitely changed as I got older. And I no longer wanted to be a preacher, but I still wanted to be in the business of telling stories that positively affected people's lives. And this is probably the first time that I've felt that I've done that up to the degree that I wanted to. You know, telling a story that that when people hear it, they feel like the world is a little, I don't know, more understandable, that the world is a little more graspable, that that at least for a moment, being able to empathize with a total stranger through the medium of storytelling. And so it's been, for me, it's that part of it has been incredibly encouraging, especially as you know, the radio world is not one of riches and fame and glamour. I don't roll like Jay-Z when I'm strolling down the cities of Denver, in the city of Denver. And it definitely helps out that the reward at the end of the day is a rich and deep one in a more meaningful way than finances. And then, of course, it's helped me kind of put my relationship with Khan that I really enjoy. Helped me kind of put it under a microscope, especially working with Radiolab. I don't know if you know how their process works, but they really cultivate as much information. They ask every question that you could ask. They put so many hours into every minute that you hear on their program. And through doing that, it just really gave Khan and I a chance to celebrate what we love about each other in a way that most friendships don't get the opportunity to do.
Speak for yourself on that radio thing, Andy. Here at KCUR, we drink coffee every morning made of diamonds. So we're pretty much rolling. Speaking of radio, yeah. I have a question for you, Khan. You want to be a radio producer now. Why on earth would you want to do that?
Well, I do what I want. But really, I love storytelling as much as Andy does or any of our crowd does. I was actually talking to our friend Matt a few weeks ago from Hudson Branch, and we were getting excited about my very first project, which is in the making snow, but I was telling him, dude, I actually have a voice now.
You actually have a voice now.
Yeah, it isn't just anymore.
Certainly. Our guests are Con Ashmore and Andy Mills. We're hearing the incredible story of how the two forged a friendship that helped tell Con's story. And now he has a project in the works as an aspiring radio producer. If you'd like to hear the extended story of Con and Andy, you can go to our website at kcur.org. Con, thank you for visiting us today.
Thank you.
And Andy, thanks for appearing on the show today with us as well.
You're welcome.
And tune in tomorrow for the Walt Bodine Show as we're joined by the movie critics with the latest silver screen picks and a look at the Kansas City Film Festival. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi, executive produced by Bill Anderson, with help from Charlie Upchurch and Tamika Weatherspoon. Kim Noble is behind the boards as the announcer. Emily Muter manages our website at kcur.org. The intro music is by Miles Bonney, and what you're hearing right now is the outro by The Will Knots. Up to Date is next with a look at college-age binge drinking. Plus, apropos, bringing in the weekend to-do list. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and this is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.